those were wonderful opening remarks. And we would like to also express our deep appreciation for the writings of our beloved Brother Thomas, Brother Roberts, and Brother Brokaw for their insight on this wonderful subject before us. The title of our talk this morning directs our attention to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, or the Apocalypse, specifically the first several verses up to verse 5 in regards to this subject. The picture presented to us in these early verses of this chapter is beautiful and is among the most significant of the scriptures. We see the Lamb standing on Mount Zion with 144,000 redeemed who bear the Father's name in their foreheads, a voice from heaven of many waters, a voice of great thunder, the voice of harpers harping with their harps, a new song sung, which none but the singers know, and their pure, holy, undefiled perfection without fault before the throne of God. Verse 1 of this 14th chapter begins, And I looked, and lo, a lamb. The lamb is the basic sacrifice all through Scripture and points forward to Christ. Abel, first listed among the faithful, Hebrews 11, verse 4, brought of the first things of his flock and offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, a slain lamb. Abraham, in obedience when he was tried, offered up Isaac in a figure and said to him, God will provide himself a lamb. He looked through the eye of faith. He rejoiced to see Christ's day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Passover lamb in the dark night of Egypt, the blood on the doorway, the lamb of divine protection and deliverance. And under the law, the shadow of good things to come, every day saw the offering of its two lambs, the morning and evening sacrifices. The prophet Isaiah foretold of the Redeemer of mankind as a lamb brought to the slaughter, his soul an offering for sin, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He was cut off from the land of the living. Yet in the end, Isaiah foretold that his days shall be prolonged, being satisfied with the results of the travail of his soul. Therefore, we are told, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. When at last, in the fullness of time, John the Baptist introduced Jesus to Israel, he declared, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Looking at the book of Revelation, the word used for lamb is different from the rest of the New Testament. It means little lamb, and is a gentle term of affection, re-emphasizing that all power is of love. A little lamb accomplished the great work foretold from the beginning, the complete and permanent subduing of the earth, even to the subduing and eventual abolishing of sin itself, the root of all evil and rebellion. The little lamb, when John sees him in Revelation, is as has been slain. It had passed triumphantly through death, and it had seven horns and seven eyes, all power and all knowledge. This lamb alone was found worthy to open the seals, to unfold the course of history, and to open the way to the complete fulfillment of God's glorious purpose with this earth and mankind. The use of the lamb symbol for Christ right through to the end of Revelation emphasized that God's whole beautiful plan of salvation is built on self-denial and sacrifice with a character of purity and gentleness. If any man will come after me, we are told, If any man desire to be among the joyful 144,000 who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Continuing on in Revelation verse 1 of this 14th chapter, it reads that this Lamb stood on Mount Zion. To Jesus belongs the throne of David. Luke 1 verse 32 says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In Revelation 3 verse 21, Christ proclaims, To him that overcometh, I will give to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sit with my Father on his throne. These thrones of the house of David belong to Zion. The first mention of Zion is when David captured the Jebusite stronghold and named it the City of David. It was the southern extension of the hill of Moriah, where later the temple was built. In the future age, this area, Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, will form the glorious pinnacle upon which the altar shall stand. The scriptures are replete with prophecies of Zion. Psalm 48 verse 2 tells us, In that day the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Psalm 102 tells us, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. With a time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Again, Psalm 87, verse 2. For the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Psalm 69. For God shall save Zion and will build the cities of Judah. Psalm 87, verse 5. And of Zion, the highest himself, shall establish her. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. Psalm 132. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall remember his glory. Psalm 87, verse 16. And in Micah 4, verse 7, the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness, and joy and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Isaiah 51. For out of Zion, we're told in Psalm 50, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Verse 1 continues of this 14th chapter, and with him 144,000. While on Mount Zion, the Lamb and the 144,000 are in the political heaven, having opened the door, entered therein, and set up the throne. Christ and the saints have arrived there, having destroyed the Gogian host and delivered Jerusalem from the hand of the enemy. The 144,000 are the sons of Zadok, the children of the promise, who in Christ are accounted for the seed of Abraham and David. They are the meek who shall inherit the earth, the poor in spirit to whom pertains the kingdom of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Speaking of this multitude and their relation to the Lamb, Brother Thomas says in Eureka that the wool with which the Lamb is clothed is of snowy whiteness, standing in the midst of the 144,000, invested with fine linen, clean and white. He is clothed with a pure and faultless multitude, which is his snowy fleece, washed and made white in the blood of the individual Lamb, Jesus. In this multitudinous unity, believers are in Christ through the apostolic word. And thus, as John says in John 17, verse 21, One as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. They are a great host, the vast majority of which rest peacefully, awaiting the return of Christ when he shall judge the quick and the dead. They are an election out of the generations of mankind by obedience of faith for his name. All these saints are Yahweh's mighty ones, the white cloud of cherub upon which the Spirit rides. They are the redeemed of the earth, the first fruits unto God and the Lamb, faultless before the throne. Among them will be the 12 apostles who had forsaken all and followed Christ. Also among them will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets and worthies from the east, west, north, and south. A great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. All of these glorified with white robes. The accepted saints are the great cloud of witnesses, the resurrected dewdrops now united in the aerial. The 144,000 is not a literal number, but is a symbolic or representative number of a much larger multitude. It represents the whole number of the redeemed. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 144 is the square of 12. 12 marks their nationality and connection with Israel, the foundation of God's purpose. For we know salvation is of the Jews. 12 is the square root of that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. The 144,000 comprise both faithful Jews through obedience in the promises made to the fathers and the faithful Gentile adopted to partake based upon the teachings of the 12 apostles. The 1,000 symbol illustrates a great multitude. Therefore, 144,000 teaches us that the multitude of the redeemed are the Israel of God. Much more could be said in regard to the symbolism of this number, 144,000. Specifically, 144 and its square root of 12 in Scripture. How 12 is 4 times 3. 4, which seems to point to universal dominion, and 3, resurrection. How the camp of Israel was arranged in 4 groups of 3. How the breastplate had 4 rows of 3 stones each. And how the New Jerusalem has 4 sides with 3 gates on each side. Again, we see the 144 equals 6 times 24. And it brings to mind the 24 priestly courses of David's kingdom, found in 1 Chronicles 24, which we read in our hearing this morning, and the 24 elders of the book of Revelation, symbolic of the saints, which points to a doubling of the 12, foreshadowing the union of Jew and Gentile. Of this great multitude, it is said, in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. We must understand this in the light of David's statement, when he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." That they are without fault does not mean that they never had any fault, for they are made to declare to the Lamb that they have been washed from their sins in his blood. It means they are justified men forgiven,